You see, this is the abundant life that we have been called to. We don't need to stagnate. We don't need to shrink. We don't need to live a small life. If you are bored as a Christian, then let me tell you, you are not stretching. Hey, it's great to see you. You know, if you and I got to sit down and have coffee together, there's one thing I bet you'd discover about me pretty quickly, and that is that I am extremely passionate. I'm an all or nothing kind of girl. Now, when God calls me to something, I'm all in. But if there's one thing I've realized after following Jesus for over 30 years of my life, it's that starting strong is not enough. We're also called to finish well. And in today's message, I've got a word that's going to inspire you to not only run the race that God has called you to, but also to finish it full of faith. So let's dive in and watch this today. I am so grateful that you have joined us today. I am so excited. Today we're going to be wrapping up this awesome series on what it is to run to win. I have loved being a part of this series. I've learned a lot and I hope that you are too. We have been talking about the fact that God has a spiritual race for us to run. And you know what? He doesn't want us just to kind of get through life. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to run to win. And we've looking at this life like a marathon, not like a sprint. If you take a sprint approach to running your race on this earth, then you're going to get exhausted. You're going to get burnt out. You're not going to get to the finish line, but we want to be a people of tenacity. We want to be a people of resilience. We want to be a people of endurance. We want to run our race. We want to finish our course. We want to cross into over that finish line and receive our eternal reward. We want to live the faith adventure that God has put us on this earth to live. So we've looked at the art of running. What is it to run? How do you run and how can you run well? And today we're going to talk about the fact that runners maintain a very, very healthy diet. Some of you are like, whoa, we're going there. Yes, Mama Chris is going to go there because I want you to run to win. Some of us are not going to want to hear this. I get it. But the truth is that what runners eat and drink is absolutely crucial. You see, they need lots of protein for their muscle repair and calcium to protect bones from fractures. And, you know, caffeine and alcohol often lead to dehydration. So you find that a lot of really serious runners, they tend to avoid that. They don't have too much of these things. And runners have to eat a full breakfast before a race and early on in the morning so that they don't get stomach cramps and nausea. See, runners need to fuel their body properly so that they do not run out of steam. You need the right mix of carbs and protein and healthy fats. Do you feel like you're in a home economics lesson right now, as well as constant hydration? So likewise, if you and I are going to run to win in our spiritual race, we're going to have to learn to feast on the right things. There are some spiritual practices that will fuel and sustain our spiritual run. Some things will give us additional energy and other things will deplete us. So be sure to put the right things in. And of course, the right things spiritually. We need the fuel of the Word of God. This is the most important thing. We read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. So we must stay nourished spiritually by staying in the Word of God daily. Listen, a snack once a week, that's not enough. This book is living. This book is active. It brings life. It brings hope. It brings healing. It brings guidance. It brings correction. It brings wisdom. This book literally has saved my mind. This book continues to renew my mind day in and day out. It's a book of life. It's a book of hope. It's a book of purpose. It is alive. The Word of God. This is the first thing we need to make sure daily that we are feasting on. Secondly, we need to make sure that we're being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, remember the scripture says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You see, we were never designed to run our race alone. We need Holy Ghost power. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and on the inside of me. He gives us the strength. He gives us the power. He gives us the wisdom and the understanding to run our race and to finish our course. So perhaps today you need a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. Perhaps you're feeling weary and heavy laden because you're trying to do in your own strength what you can only do in God's strength. So thirdly, we need to saturate ourselves in praise and in worship. In terms of spiritual nourishment, there is nothing like basking in the presence of God and being filled. It's like water to your soul and spirit. You know, the worship style of music that you listen to is not what I'm talking about here. Listen to whatever works for you, whatever makes your spirit soar, whatever cultivates a practice of praising and worshiping God, whatever works for you, that's fine. But the fact is, in my home, we have worship music playing. In my car, I put worship music on. I believe that something happens, something powerful happens in the heavenlies when you saturate the atmosphere with praise and worship to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. It literally changes the atmosphere of your home. You know, I remember when I was recovering from thyroid cancer surgery, I'm in the hospital and I had worship music playing in my room. It fueled my spirit. It strengthened my heart. It connected me to God. When I was kind of lying there, I couldn't speak. It connected me to God. So there's something about worshiping God, about praising God. And you know, make sure that where you're able to be connected to a strong, healthy, Bible-based, local church community. I can't emphasize enough how helpful it is to be part of a healthy body. You know, a Bible-based, Spirit-filled, loving, people-loving, disciple-making local church family. We need each other. There is not one of us that was designed to do this alone. You know, we can't run alone for too long. We need to encourage each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to learn together, to grow together. We need strong, faith-filled people to nourish us, to pick us up when we fall. Our friendships and our relationships are either helping us to run towards our purpose or taking us away from our God-given purpose. So to run your race and to stay on course and to finish strong, you will need healthy, strong spiritual community. And of course, staying closely connected to God through regular prayer is an absolutely crucial aspect of any spiritual diet. Prayer is not a duty, but a delight. It's a place where you can be totally honest and transparent with God. He wants us to pour out our hearts to Him, to make our requests known to Him, to listen to Him. You know, prayer feeds us, prayer nourishes us and it fuels us. Prayer keeps us connected to God. So remember, what you put into you, it actually matters. If you want to have a healthy spiritual diet and to stay spiritually strong so that you can run and finish well. It's important to understand that runners too are dressed for success. Have you ever noticed that when runners are running, they wear really light clothing, shorts and a singlet made out of the right lightweight fabric. You don't see a runner wearing mountain climbing gear. They're not wearing any unnecessary articles of clothing. They shed any unnecessary layers and they run in light, breathable layers. They wear proper running shoes in order to avoid any injuries, and everything is measured and appropriate for the race that they are running. I love Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We've referred to it so much in this series. We read, therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The writer to the Hebrews right here reminds us that we must take responsibility to lay aside anything that would hinder us from running at maximum speed. We must choose to lay aside unnecessary weights and sins. Weights can be good things that served us in one season but have become totally unnecessary in this season. You know, sins are always holding us back and hindering our effectiveness. weights and sins will hold you back. You can't run with endurance while weighed down with things like shame and guilt and bitterness and offenses and unforgiveness and anger and jealousy and lust and greed or envy. These things will weigh you down and take you out of the race. Therefore, we must choose to regularly lay aside the excess baggage that will weigh us down and hinder our capacity to run to win. We need to remember that we are not God. And even God Himself, after 6 days of creation, on the seventh day, He rested. God is the one doing the work through us. And He has given us a physical body that actually just literally needs rest. In fact, rest and recreation, it was part of God's original top 10 commandments. Of course, in Exodus chapter 20, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and you shall do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant nor your maidservant nor your animals nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." It's interesting because this commandment is probably the one that most people think is actually the least applicable today. But this commandment really has the greatest effect on the health of a whole nation, upon a family life and upon our medical health. See, with the industrial and technological revolution, life has become busier. There's a pressure to achieve more, to be bigger, to move faster, to be better, to be stronger, to be richer. We have our phones in our hands 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are always on, we're always accessible, and we're always connected. This is not good for our souls or for our ability to endure to the end. We are not hardwired to operate like that. We have to learn to switch off and to give our bodies time to recreate. The instant nature of our society, of our food, of our entertainment, of our communication, and of our travel can and does impact our lives.
Struggles and setbacks are hurdles we all face. We can all find ourselves in a place of confusion and discouragement, wondering how we got there. We get tempted to give up, looking for a path of escape. Despite the adversity, however, this is not the time to quit. In fact, in this race called life, you are made to win. Through Christine Kane's inspiring 8-part series, Run to Win, and her transformative book, How Did I Get Here?, you will receive the truth and encouragement you need to run your race, finish your course, and live in God's amazing purpose for you.
You're still here. God still has a plan for your life. God still has a purpose for your life. There is still a race for you to run. You are not at the finish line yet.
These resources will help you discover your next steps to experience all the good things God has for you in your future. Friends, your generosity reaches people with the hope and grace of Jesus Christ through the media and ministry outreaches of TBN. So, to say thank you for your generous gift of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own copies of both Christine's Run to Win series and her powerful book, How Did I Get Here? Please take a moment right now to call 800-350-5170 or go securely online to tbn.org/run to win. Remember, God made you a winner. So don't just run, run to win.
How a runner thinks determines how a runner runs. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If we're going to run our race and finish our course, then we must be committed to constantly renewing our minds according to the Word of God. Nothing in life changes until you change the way you think. Our thoughts are literally like a train. They take us somewhere. So we need to think about the things that we're thinking about so that we can run with strength. We can't be filled with constant negativity. And let me just say, in our world, we can be bombarded with constant negativity. So we need to stop and think about what we're thinking about. Of course, in Philippians 4:8, we read that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You know, there's so much negativity, there's so much chaos, there's so much division in our world. If you spend all of your time listening to the news or gossip or negative friends, you will not have the fuel that you need to keep your spiritual life at an optimum, and you're going to find it hard to keep running your race and to keep finishing your course. You know, I personally have to fight to protect my thoughts so that my thinking does not spiral out of control. When my mind is full of joy and peace, I can run faster, I can run harder, I can run further. So choose to think about what you're thinking about every single day. Another important aspect of running is that runners stretch and runners strengthen. So in order to run at optimal capacity, runners need to stretch before and after each run. I'm speaking to myself right now. So if they do not, their bodies will become rigid and inflexible. Exhibit A, that would be me. I have to admit that I do need to take my own advice in this area, because as we grow older, we lose our flexibility and we're prone to more and more injuries. I often think that I don't have time to stretch, and then I wonder why I feel very, very stiff the next day. Stretching actually reduces muscle tension. It promotes circulation and it reduces the risk of injury. Stretching is a very, very important practice. In Isaiah 54 verse 2, the prophet tells the Israelites that they need to enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. See, in a time of captivity and a time of great restriction, a time of exile, the prophet says that, you know what? Just when you feel like everything's contracting, this is when you need to stretch. This is when you need to strengthen. This is when you need to enlarge. This is when you need to lengthen. This is not a time to pull back and get smaller. This is actually a time where it's going to hurt, but you've got to stretch and enlarge. And we as Jesus followers, we need to ensure that we do not get so comfortable and contained in our spiritual walk that we don't simply settle and stop stretching and reaching. We want to lay a hold of all of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of us. We're going to have to stretch beyond our comfort zone if we want to run to win. If we do not do this, we will become inflexible, we will become rigid, we will become stale, and we will contract rather than expand. You've always got to reach a little bit beyond where you are right now. You know, have you ever met those kinds of Jesus followers? They're not fun to be around. The ones that are just like small-minded and small-thinking, they get stuck in the past and stuck in their old ways of doing things. They get stuck in the same routines. You know, they haven't had a new idea in years. You and I, we ought to be living this adventure wide eyed, in awe of our great God, constantly learning and constantly growing and constantly expanding. You know, when I turned 50, I enrolled in grad school for this very reason. I didn't want to get rigid. I didn't want to just keep talking about the good old days. I wanted to stretch. I wanted to enlarge. I wanted to stretch my mind. I wanted to enhance my skills. I didn't want to get stuck in the past. I didn't want my best days with Jesus to be behind me, but I wanted to keep pressing. I wanted to keep growing. I wanted to keep flourishing for the glory of God. You see, this is the abundant life that we have been called to. We don't need to stagnate. We don't need to shrink. We don't need to live a small life. If you are bored as a Christian, then let me tell you, you are not stretching. You're not stretching. Some of you just got off the couch right now and you're starting to do stretches right there. You know what? You've stopped stretching for the unsearchable riches of Christ. You've stopped seeking the unsearchable riches of Christ. You cannot be bored and be a Jesus follower. Listen, it's impossible. It is impossible to truly be in relationship with Jesus, be fulfilling the purpose of God in your generation, and to be bored. We are called to a faith adventure. There's nothing boring about Jesus. There's nothing boring about following Jesus. There is nothing boring about living the Christian life. There ought to be a spring in your step. There ought to be a glint in your eye. There ought to be something unusual about you. So make the decision to get up. To the decision to stretch again, the decision to grow again. Listen, no matter how old you are, I'm 55. I feel like I'm just getting started. But man, this is the time when I could be shrinking more than expanding. I have to proactively choose to stretch. I have to proactively choose to enlarge. Can I just tell some people that are my age and older, listen, don't become rigid. Don't become grumpy. Don't become inflexible. Don't become, you know, that grandparent that no one wants to go to visit. Don't be that person. I want to be a super granny for Jesus. Where everyone goes, I want to be around them because they still love Jesus. Some Christians look like they've been sucking lemons. They just look so depressed. Put a smile on your face. If Jesus is that awesome, why doesn't the world realize that he is awesome? We ought to be producing the fruit of the Spirit of God. There ought to be something about Jesus followers that says, I want what she's got. I want what she's got. You and I, we are running an eternal race. We are gaining an eternal reward. That alone ought to fire you up. Now, the reason we've been examining how runners run more effectively is because you and I, we want to run our spiritual race effectively until we cross that finish line. I want you to make it. I want to take as many people across that finish line with me. You see, God made us on purpose for a purpose. One of my favorite verses that if you've heard me preach, I quote this all the time. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What for? For good works that God prepared beforehand, right here in eternity, so that we would walk in them right here on earth. Do you see that God made us on purpose and for a purpose? He made us with intentionality to fulfill his purpose here on earth. He prepared it for us in eternity. You see, of course, we're saved by grace through faith, of course. But we're saved by grace through faith for good works. There's something we are here on the planet to do. And we want to ensure that we use all the time that God has given us to do what God has called us to do. There are gifts that he's given us, and we don't want to die with those unused gifts on the inside of us. There are resources that we have been given so that we can run our race and finish our course more effectively. I believe that God has put us on this earth for purpose, on purpose. You and I are saved and called, the Bible says. We are not here on planet Earth simply waiting to die and then go to heaven. We did not just pray a little prayer for fire insurance for when we die and then just do nothing. No, no, no. We come into faith. We believe Jesus and then we live the life that he put us on this earth to live. We've got a race to run and we want to get in our lane. We want to run our race. We want to finish our course. We want to cross that finish line and fall into our Savior's arms and we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not what did you do while you were on earth, but well done. You did everything I put you on the earth to do. We want to run this race with tenacity, with strength, with courage, with joy, with love, with confidence, and with endurance. In a race, everyone runs. Let's make sure that we run to win. Thanks again for watching today. More than anything, I hope you know right now that God is with you, that he is for you, and that he's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower you to run your race and to finish your course. Now, we only have a few minutes left together, so I want to encourage you to take one more key step. Call the number on the screen or go online and share the love of Christ through TBN's ministry. Today's message was just a small part of it, and I know it's going to help you run the race that God has called you to.
Struggles and setbacks are hurdles we all face. We can all find ourselves in a place of confusion and discouragement, wondering how we got there. We get tempted to give up, looking for a path of escape. Despite the adversity, however, this is not the time to quit. In fact, in this race called life, You are made to win. Through Christine Kane's inspiring 8-part series, Run to Win, and her transformative book, How Did I Get Here?, you will receive the truth and encouragement you need to run your race, finish your course, and live in God's amazing purpose for you.
You're still here. God still has a plan for your life. God still has a purpose for your life. There is still a race for you to run. You are not at the finish line yet.
These resources will help you discover your next steps to experience all the good things God has for you in your future. Friends, your generosity reaches people with the hope and grace of Jesus Christ through the media and ministry outreaches of TBN. So, to say thank you for your generous gift of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own copies of both Christine's Run to Win series and her powerful book, How Did I Get Here? Please take a moment right now to call 800-350-5170 or go securely online to tbn.org/run to win. Remember, God made you a winner. So don't just run to win.